Every time I've had you on, Joyce, in my career, every time, we're talking about some tragedy with veterans, aren't we?
We're talking not just about a tragedy with veterans. We're talking about the government's deception, the Department of Defense intentionally deceiving these veterans, which is even worse. Because it's all about our belief in a government. It's all about our credibility, the accountability of the government, especially when you're referring to this case of Scott Weekly. There's so much more to this story I want to tell you because
okay.
It's unbelievable what they have done to try and make these veterans disappear.
And is this what we call the Gulf War syndrome, what he has, or is this something else now?
Oh, it's just one more of the different ailments that the veterans are experiencing. I don't know that you could combine it into any kind of category or illness because there's so many things that they have literally done to the veterans in exposures to make them sick. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of these people since 1991. Many of the symptoms are the same, many different, but I'll tell you what, it is getting worse. And this group of people that are suffering from this bronchiolitis problem, which it kind of sounds like bronchitis, big deal, you know, so it doesn't sound all that bad until you understand what bronchiolitis really is. It's irreversible. It's very rare. It used to be referred to as popcorn lung, you know, when people worked in popcorn factories that made the microwave popcorn.
Right.
They got the irreversible disease. They died from it. Well, that's what's happening to these troops. But let me tell you, George, it's even more sordid than this. It's even more nefarious in what has happened here. In around 2003, a lot of soldiers from the 101st Airborne at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, were deployed to a northern part of Iraq, about 20,000 of those soldiers from the 101st, to Operation Iraqi Freedom. They were in an area called the Karaya Airfield West, in which they were exposed to a sulfur mine, the Mishrak sulfur mine. This is the largest sulfur mine in the world, and sulfur is what you're exposed to, you know, when you strike a match. Well, it's pretty toxic to the lungs. Well, there was a release there of 42 million pounds of sulfur dioxide, which is the largest man-made release ever of sulfur dioxide on record. And as a result of that, these troops were exposed to it. Injuries occur at levels of 0.1 parts per million. They were exposed to many, many times over that. Well, what happened is they returned back to Fort Campbell in 2004, and they were taken to Vanderbilt. Many of them were referred to Vanderbilt because they were so incredibly sick. Just like you said in this story here, with Scott Weekly, there was also a physician who had been a marathon runner coming back home, couldn't even walk. Many of these people cannot even do a PT test any longer, physical training test. They have to walk the range. They can't even run. Well, as a result of this, they took them into Vanderbilt, and there was a doctor there who was really on top of this, checked it out, and said, wow, these people are very sick. He did biopsies, which is pretty extravagant to do a lung biopsy on these patients. You don't want to really have to do that. But they did, and it was Dr. Robert Miller. This guy deserves a tremendous amount of credit. He's associate professor of allergy, pneumonia, and critical care medicine at Vanderbilt.
Probably put his neck in the ring, didn't he?
Oh, my goodness. He found out and diagnosed more than 50 soldiers with constrictive bronchiolitis when they were exposed to these burn pits. Now, this is not just in this one area with the sulfur dioxide. It's all the burn pits that were used because overseas, we don't dispose of waste. We just dig a great big huge hole, huge hole, I mean like several football fields, and dump in it things like trucks that can't be used any longer, blown up pieces of equipment, arms and legs from surgery, whatever goes into this, computers, all kinds of electronic equipment, and they, of course, build the barracks fairly near this, usually the enlisted barracks. Officers get to be a little bit further down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But they breathe all this. Well, this Dr. Miller found out that these guys were all having the same thing, same problem. Well, along comes the Department of Defense and the VA, and they say, whoa, we need to have a report on this. So Dr. Miller does a report. However, in the final report, everything was taken out about this. In fact, Miller did a 32-page training letter about this. Everything about bronchiolitis was removed from the original draft after the military got a hold of it, trying to hide these troops. Jeez. So the Army Times back in, I believe it was 2010, did a story, the Army wants to hide soldiers with constrictive bronchiolitis. I mean, this is criminal. This is beyond belief. And there are probably veterans sitting at home right now, Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom, they're sitting there trying to get a breath, not knowing what's wrong with them, not having been to Vanderbilt and had the opportunity to meet with Dr. Robert Miller. Then they took away all the care from Dr. Miller. He's no longer allowed.
They tried to what, punish him or what?
Well, they didn't punish him, but they just took all the patients away from him, said, thank you very much, you're no longer needed. We're transferring the care to Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, and you're no longer needed, nor is your work. And then pretty well removed all the information from this regarding the seriousness of this and just basically said, let's get these guys out of the military as fast as possible, and let's get them as little compensation as possible. This is a disease you die from, unfortunately.
That's shocking. That's shocking.
But it is. It really is. But is this any different than what I told you about depleted uranium?
No, not at all.
And about the vaccines? You know, when we go back and look at where we've been since 1996 in this issue, when I really got involved, and I found out that the U.S. government released a paper that stated during the past 50 years, and this is Senate Report 103-97, during the past 50 years, hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent. That changed my life. I was never the same again. And I said, wow, this is intentional. And, it's like manslaughter. It's like murder. It's intentional.
And it's not slowing down, is it?
Absolutely not. And I want to expose the way they cover it up, because that's how it is handled in the military. For instance, the United States government, back in the 1980s, under the Reagan administration, of course, with George Bush Sr., sold biologicals and chemicals to Iraq illegally. Now, of course, we know that Donald Rumsfeld was an alleged envoy with the Reagan administration.
Mm-hmm.
He was really with G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company and selling his wares over there for chemical and biological weapons.